Hello everybody, I'm Adam Brakey. I'm from Private Software. Been with the company about 2 months, so bear with me, these are the experts. I am the product marketing manager for the product Easel. Hopefully you're in the right room. We're going to walk through Easel, kind of what it is, give you a technical discussion around it, as well as show you how DataPA can leverage it. Okay, my name's Adam, this is Manolo. And Gary from DataPA. All right. I'll do the flip through.
If you want, I can.
Sure. So what is the problem that Easel's trying to solve, right? So if you look at your customers or you, your data is located in a myriad of places, right? Could be in Fora, could be Acumatica, could be Salesforce, could be anywhere, right? But what do people want to do with those things, with that data? They want to be able to present that data in an easily digestible format. This is an example of just a dashboard, but even something as simple as a unified Excel spreadsheet would be nice, right? Rather than disparate spreadsheets. So how do people do that today? This is the process that pretty much everybody goes through to get that data in a presentable format. First, they have to have access to all those different locations where their data lives. Then they have to prepare that data, they have to unify that data, they have to clean that data, they have to make it work together. After that, they do their analysis, and then it's ready to present. So the key thing from this slide is that people spend 80% of their time just preparing that data to get it ready to present. Right? Does that make sense? Right? We spend all that time in the front end to get such a small little thing at the end. So when you look at this slide, this kind of illustrates the different things that are people trying to solve with the data. You know, what do I have in the pipeline for this promotion? That data could be in Salesforce or Acumatica. There's some keywords, tags that might be in there. What prospects are engaged in the related campaigns that are out there today? Eloqua, Marketo, Infor, all these people have that piece of data. This data is separate from this data today. And then ultimately, what's the history? Right? What have people done in the past so we can predict where they're going in the future? That's going to be generally in an on-premise SQL server, a QAD, or other data applications. But the idea is that we want to be able to see this data in one location, in one rectangle, right? In one spreadsheet. So how do people do that today? Well, we all know this, right? We take it, we get our manual exports from each of these things. First we gain access, we pull that data out, we get into a spreadsheet. We then have to take those spreadsheets and do some sort of unification, whether it's pivot tables, VLOOKUPs, actual cut and pasting people do, to make these things into one master list, whether it's an Access database or an Excel spreadsheet. I'm sure everybody in this room has experienced something similar to this over time. And then you want to disseminate that information out to your team. So how do you do that? You pass it out via email. So everybody gets a copy of it via email. Or if you're more advanced, you share it on a tool like Dropbox. What are the limitations in doing it this way? Well, obviously, every time you go through this, your report starts from scratch. Each export is a reset in the process. It is obviously time intensive. Every time you go through this process, you've got somebody spending hours just trying to get this data to a point where we can share it. There's obviously no governance on the sharing. Email, once you send it out, it's out there. Reliance on other departments, you might have different people responsible for each of these things, and you've got one person that needs to do the unification. And it's not scalable. This is the big problem we're trying to solve, is how can you scale this sort of process? So let me walk you through a little bit about how Easel works. We've already talked about data living in two different locations or multiple locations. You could have five SaaS applications and an on-premise application where all your data lives. We take that, we apply a template to that data. You filter everything through that template. It unifies it all, right? You do a little bit of enrichment with the data within Easel, and then the output ultimately is what we call the rectangle, right? The one single rectangle of data instead of six you know, one rectangle being an Excel spreadsheet from Salesforce, one from Infor. Now we've got it all unified into one location. That data then goes out to the Cloud Data Mart, and we can publish it via Excel spreadsheet, and we are getting our photo taken right now. The Excel spreadsheets can live in the what we call the Easel Gallery, okay, and that's our data Dropbox-like functionality, right? And we also have the ability to export via OWC and JDBC to all your BI type tools. And we just launched this weekend a direct to Tableau TDE file export as well. I think that's it on that slide. A couple of the key features for Easel. I've covered these briefly, but all of these things are going to be talked about in much more detail once Manolo jumps in. We can unify those fragmented data sets. We can work in both on-premise and in the cloud. We are a cloud-based application. You give us access using your logins. You don't give us access. You have access via Easel with those logins. Pulls all the data up into the cloud. You can collaborate and share via, I talked about the Easel Gallery, which is our little Dropbox type application. Everything you do within here is guided by templates. We have out-of-box templates that are both for sales and marketing and ISV. We also have the ability for customer-created templates within Easel. These templates here, that's the key piece to it. And again, Manolo's going to show you what those templates look like, how they work. But that's the key functionality within Easel that will make your life and your customers' lives much easier. And the last key point here is that there's zero infrastructure to manage. Being a cloud-based SaaS solution, there's no IT department for your or IT integration. It literally operates in the cloud, so it makes life much easier for you and your customers. That's it for me. I would say any questions, but chances are these are the guys that would answer them anyway. So let me have Manolo go ahead and take over. He's going to walk you through, like I said, a much more technical. So now you kind of have a real high level. Okay, now I know what to expect and what questions I want to ask. Manolo's going to give you a real in-depth look at it.
Yeah, and as in-depth as the time permits. But so I'll go through the product. So I'm Italian. I try to move and gesture a lot. So if you don't understand me or if you see that I'm moving my hands too much, just interrupt me, ask me questions, whatever works for you guys. Okay? So as we have heard, Easel is in the business of trying to make it easier for you to aggregate and access data that is available in a variety of different data sources, which is typically the problem that every company has. For example, even in Progress, we have systems that are based internally on OpenEdge as a repository. For example, I think invoicing information is all stored inside OpenEdge databases, but CRM is using Salesforce, and we're moving more and more aggressively in the direction of using Salesforce, and marketing information is using Eloqua more and more. So if you want to start having a picture of what people are doing, who's buying what, how people that are buying OpenEdge get into the system, all those kind of things require a view of the data that we're collecting as a whole, instead of thinking in terms of silos of information for CRM, marketing, and finance, for example. And that's where we really try to focus in Easel. So when you connect to Easel, the first thing you see is probably nothing if you have never used it. But the first thing you would see if you're a user is your list of reports that are in the end the goal for which you use Easel. So you see here that I have something already there. It's actually something that other people have shared with me. I will just try to ignore them and assume that I'm starting from a clean system. The only thing that I did in preparation for this demo is setting up some data sources, as they are called by ESOL, which are basically specific information about how to access cloud-based or on-premise-based data sources. For example, I have a couple of data sources that are Salesforce data sources, which means these are connection information to the Salesforce system. So if you look at one of them, for example, the Salesforce SB1, which is one that I use for demos usually, you see that it's just set of information there that allows ESOL really to know how to connect to Salesforce in the cloud using the username there and the specific password and security token, whatever is included there as part of the Salesforce specific security. So basically what I'm doing here is telling ESOL I may want to use this data source to pull some data from it. I'm not doing anything yet. I basically just established the connection, and the little green mark that you see on the screen is telling me that the connectivity works. Good. It means that the hotel has a good Wi-Fi that is working. So, for example, one initial example could be, why don't we try to access this Salesforce data source and try to pull some data out of it to see how ESOL works, right? I do that pressing this big orange button, which is a create a report, and I enter basically what we call the create a report flow, which is where you start thinking in terms of really what kind of data you want to pull in which shape. There are a number of templates, as we call them, that are provided in ESOL out of the box, and the templates are really a way to get you started more easily. It's the idea is, okay, I know that you are trying to access some specific data sources that have some predefined schema. There are typical things that people may want to do with these kind of data sources. So let's try to help you getting started in the direction. For example, you see that I have some templates that know how to extract the list of accounts with owners and details from Salesforce or Eloqua or both. There is another one here that is able to retrieve contact details, again, with Salesforce and Eloqua. Probably if I scroll down, you see that I have some others that are more specific only to Salesforce. There is one that probably I should have deleted with a test for pulling data from OpenEdge and Salesforce, but we haven't talked about getting to OpenEdge yet, so ignore that for the time being. Let's suppose that I want to just do a quick test, a quick try, pulling the contact details, for example, from that Salesforce data source that I've configured previously. You see that when I select one of these templates, I get a little preview here on the right, not really of what are all the fields and all the information that ESOL will pull from the system, but what will be the default shape of this rectangular set of information that we will retrieve from Salesforce. So when I choose a template, basically, I'm telling ESOL I want to have to extract some information from that data source or from those data sources, shape them in some specific format that the template dictates, and I will show you how you can change and control that. And then from that shape of data, I want to extract basically a spreadsheet, which is my final report. And I can, of course, use the same data to create multiple spreadsheets or reports. But let's go through it. It's probably easier. We just choose this template, for example, and the next thing that ESOL asks me is, okay, you chose a template. To which data do you want to connect to? And the template, as we saw before, is able to connect, knows how to connect to Salesforce and Eloqua. So I will just use the one we just saw for Salesforce, the Salesforce SB, which is a sandbox in the end for Salesforce. And I will just continue in my flow. ESO asked me to assign a name to this dataset. Think about dataset as a data mart, as your little warehouse in the cloud that you're going to use where you extract data from your data sources and where this data is going to be stored. So let's call it, for example, SF data only, because it's only Salesforce data. You see here that I have also a little alarm clock that is telling me that in the end I can also tell ESOL to refresh this data on a regular basis. So you could tell ESOL, okay, every night, midnight, go back to this data source or data sources and pull fresh data, so that I always have fresh data every time I come in the morning in the office. Or you could decide that you do that completely manually, so that you decide that your data is refreshed only when you want to. I don't do anything at this point, so I assume that I do that manually. I click the load, data and create. And what happens now is that you see here in the top right, very little, it's something is happening. ISOL is basically connecting now to the Salesforce data source and is pulling data directly from Salesforce into the cloud. You see here on the left, this is your digested data model, let's say. It's the set of business objects, the set of information that ISOL is trying to extract from Salesforce in this case and rearrange in some specific information. For example, you will see things, if you're familiar with Salesforce, that you will recognize things like accounts and campaign members. Things like contact details are a little bit different because they've been redigested basically by the template. You see that now the data showed up because the loading operation completed. But before we discuss about the data, I just wanted to show you, for example, what this contact details business object is. This is an object which is based on the concept of contact inside Salesforce, but to make it easier for the user to pull interesting information, we have enriched this information, merging the concept of contact with account, so that you start having a single object that contains information not only about the contact, so the person that you are contacting that is in the system, but also information about the company itself. For example, if we scroll down here in this list of things, you will see here you start having information about the account owner or the account description or the account name. Actually, the account name is something that we are already including in the grid on the right. So basically, this structure that you have here on the left represents all the data that ISOL has pulled from the data source. And of course, in this case, it's one single data source. We'll see in a moment that you can do that with multiple ones. What you see on the right is a preview of the kind of report that you are creating. So this is the data that is stored in the cloud, in your data mart, in your data warehouse in the cloud. And this is a particular one sample of report that you are creating. And of course, you can change this report, right? For example, you could decide that you want to, include the shipping state. And now you see that here to the right, in addition to the other information, I also have shipping state, wherever it's available. You can decide to filter it. For example, if you click up here, you could decide to filter it on some specific industries. For example, you don't care about apparel, you don't care about education, and you hit apply. At this point, you get a refreshed list. And of course, again, this is what you're doing here is really basically choosing what are the fields, what are the pieces of information that you want to have in your report. The idea here is that you have moved from Salesforce, the whole big thing in Salesforce. You have digested the data into your data mart, and now you are further refining the data into your report, which is something that in the end can be translated into a spreadsheet more easily and share with other people. In fact, if I decide to save this report at this point, and if I save it, I could call it, for example, bug one. Let's create a new folder where we can put it, which is called bug as well. Let's save it. What happens now is that the report has been saved, the definition has been saved. You also see here in the bottom right, you saw that the little application, the ISO application that I'm running on this computer, warned me that something new has been created. In fact, I now have a PUG folder with a new Excel file inside, the PUG one, that if I make a little bigger, view medium, I guess, you will see that, like if you're used to Dropbox, if you're familiar with this, it has a little green check mark, which is telling me that this thing is synchronized with the version of the server. So what happened here? From the web UI, I created my data mart, I created the report, I saved the report. After saving the report, I also asked ISOL to create automatically an Excel file for that report. And as I have the little ISOL application which is running on my client, the report that I created has been synchronized as an Excel spreadsheet to my computer. And of course, you can decide that you want to do that, you can decide that you don't want to do that. You may install the ISOL client on multiple machines so that the same Excel file is synchronized on multiple machines. This is all up to you. If you open this Excel file, you will see that you have inside the same kind of information that we were looking at before in the sample. We have your filter applied to the industry, which is on the right, and all the other information. If you if we move more to the right, you will see all the other things. So this is just to give you an idea of how you can get to this, basically a simple spreadsheet from a one single data source in ESO. Now, this is not particularly interesting if you think about that, right? It's, you can do that today with Salesforce. It's you use Salesforce, you can create a report in Salesforce, export the data, and you are all set. Why would I use ESO to do that? But the interesting part is when you start having things that are a little bit more complicated. For example, think about the scenario that I described to you earlier where I'm in progress and I have data which is in part stored in OpenEdge, in part in Salesforce, in part even in Eloqua. But just focus, for example, in OpenEdge plus Salesforce. How do I get to OpenEdge data, first of all? OpenEdge is not, the OpenEdge system in progress is not running in the cloud, it's running in our labs in Bedford, close by. How do I get to that data? In ESOL, you can connect, as we heard before, also to on-premise data, in addition to cloud data. So, in addition to things like Salesforce, Eloqua, HubSpot, Marketo, that are all cloud-based data sources. You also recognize probably things like OpenEdge, SQL Server, Oracle, that are typical on-premise systems, things that are running typically inside your organization behind the firewall. So how can ESOL get to it? It gets to it thanks to the same little application that takes care of synchronizing the Excel files. So that little application acts as a proxy, basically, on behalf of ESOL, so that it allows ESOL to perform JDBC or DBC connectivity to your data sources, even if they're sitting behind the firewall. So as long as you have a machine, one or more machines, that are running our ESOL application, that are acting as proxies, you can access every data source that your machine can access through ESOL in the cloud. And of course, you know, all the security mechanism is under your control, there is all encryption, and nothing, none of the data which is moved on the wire isn't clear, it's all secured and so on. But it's you have basically control and the ability of also accessing data which is behind your firewall. In fact, right now I have two data sources for OpenEdge, one of them is accessing a database through my laptop. The laptop is you see here. You see this one particularly is accessing it through a VM that I have in Bedford. So I basically set up a VM and I'm running the ESO client there. But you see that if I expand this as a part of the ESO client name, I have two things. I have my laptop and my VM running in the lab manager. What does it mean? It means that I have ESO installed on two machines with my credentials, and I can use either of them to access on-premise data because I granted permission to that. If you look for a moment to the settings of this application, the ESO application, you will see that this application running on the laptop contains the name, the Minolos laptop, so it's what is recognized also by the web UI. And I also told the application that I want to allow on-premise data access, so that I intended basically ESO. You can use this particular instance of the application as a proxy to get to my data. After I've done that, basically, the other information that you see here on the screen, this is just generic JDBC information about how to get to my OpenEdge database. I have a user ID and password. I have the IP of the server, the same way that you would use to connect a JDBC or DBC application from your own connectivity. And the port number, the database name that we will recognize as a sample database name in OpenEdge, and then the schema name, which is PUB, which is not visible down here. So basically, establishing this information, which is the proxy you want to use to access data, the other information for OpenEdge or for SQL Server or for Oracle or for DB2 in the future and so on, it's all just generic JDBC or DBC connectivity information that you establish for the system to follow. Once I've done that, basically, I'm able to access also my OpenEdge database from ESO. So now I can start thinking of creating a unified view inside Easel that merges data from between OpenEdge and Salesforce. How do I do that? As you can imagine, working with data like I have an OpenEdge database and it is merged, this data is merged somehow with Salesforce, there isn't a standard schema or a standard notion of database that I can use, so that we cannot provide an out-of-the-box template for the user to use, because really the shape of the OpenEdge database or how it is related to Salesforce data, that all depends on your specific business solution or your application, right? So it's not something that I can solve as part of Easel as a generic solution, as a generic template. It's not a Salesforce schema that, you know, more or less is as always a common base between different instances that I can reuse. In this case, you're talking about OpenEdge, which could be anything in terms of schema. So in this case, you will need to create something new. And you create a new template that you can use yourself, or you will be able also to share with other people through the same web UI. So in this case, instead of selecting one of the existing templates, I will ask the system, okay, create your own template. And at this point, you enter in a path which is a little bit more technical than what you have seen before, because at this point, if you enter in this particular execution path in Easel, the idea is that you know what you're doing. You know what kind of problem you're solving, you know what kind of data schema you are dealing with, and so on, because it's you are accessing data which is not known to Easel out of the box. But the idea is similar. You still decide that you want to access one particular data source, in this case OpenEdge, and why not another one, which is our sandbox in Salesforce. So at this point I have two data sources in Easel that I selected, and I click the continue button, and at this point I enter in this UI that allows me to create a template. And as I said, it's more technical than other parts in Easel. In the UI, what I'm prompted to do is to start creating business-level objects, so abstractions of the objects from what they are in the physical data sources to what they are known into Easel. So, for example, I know that in my OpenEdge Sports 2000 database, something similar to the concept of contacts is the customer table. So I will choose the customer table here. I will call it, why not, still customer here. You see that little checkbox here at the bottom is telling Easel, do you want to import all the fields in this physical customer table as your part of your object or not? And you know, just to make it thing short, I will just say yes. What happens now is that Easel connects to OpenEdge, it fetches all the schema for that particular table, and now you see that I have this UI that is telling me, this is my customer object, business object in Easel. I have this set of fields that are mapped to these particular physical fields in OpenEdge. And of course, I can do that for more things, so that it's in the end, the more objects I create, the closer I could create a structure to what the physical schema is of the database, right? So I could, for example, say, okay, add another object, which is my invoice object, for example, that is mapped to the invoice table in the system, also include all the attributes, and now you have the same thing here for the invoice object mapped one-to-one to the invoice table in the Sports 2000 database. So I've done just one-to-one mappings, not much here. The other thing that probably I want to do is to say, okay, I have a customer object, an invoice object, I also want to let Easel know how these two things are related, right? So that they can create reports that include information both from one and the other, otherwise they would just be two separate islands that they don't know how to connect. And in this case, I would just define a relationship, for example, that I know can rely on the customer number, primary key in customer, and related to the invoice customer number. So that basically you have created a relationship here between the two business objects. So let's call it just a customer invoice, for example. So what I've done so far is to tell Easel, okay, just grab data from these two tables in OpenEdge. They are related this way, and that's it. But we also want to include some Salesforce information, right, that we haven't done yet.
How does it grab the data from the open edge? I mean, does it create an SQL query? Is it doing some other way?
It will create SQL queries that are executed in the end through a JDBC driver on my laptop or wherever the application is. The JDBC driver will connect to open edge, run the query, get the results, send those results to the cloud, and then the cloud will store those results into the warehouse and enrich, manipulate the data the way the template is going to tell it to do. It's similar in the end to what it does with Salesforce, only that in the case of Salesforce you don't have the hook to the little proxy which is running on my machine. It's you connect directly to Salesforce. You run, instead of SQL, you run the SQL language for Salesforce, and you get back the data from there.
Okay. So you say the warehouse. What is the warehouse, and where is it stored?
Warehouse and the whole ecosystem, except for the little application, is hosted on the cloud. So that's the zero administration system that we were talking about. It's completely stored in the cloud infrastructure. You don't need to worry about that. It's your data moves there in a secure way and is stored inside the cloud.
SQL database, or doesn't, you don't?
It's in the end a Amazon RDS infrastructure today. Tomorrow it could be something different, or maybe the day after tomorrow it could be even something that you decide to host on-premise yourself. But today it's something that is hosted on Amazon infrastructure. The underlying warehouse is a MySQL RDS instance, but it's completely invisible to the user. You never know that or see that there is that kind of warehouse, because all access to that backend warehouse is filtered by ESL. Make sense? So as I said, it's so far we haven't done much, because we're only pulling data from OpenEdge. How do I add some data from Salesforce? For example, I know that there is some information that I store in the contact object inside Salesforce that is not stored inside OpenEdge. I know that there is some information about, I don't know, account revenues that is stored inside the Salesforce system that is not stored inside OpenEdge. How do I do that? If you want to enrich data with other data sources, you will again need to establish a way to navigate from one data source to another, because right now I don't know how a customer in OpenEdge is related to a contact in Salesforce, right? So the first thing I need to do is to tell ESL that given a customer, it's a field which is called SFID, is in fact, as the name suggests, a Salesforce ID, which can be mapped to the Salesforce object, which is called contact, and the ID for a contact in Salesforce is typically stored under a field called row ID. So I created here one relationship, let's call it customer to contact, for example. And just to make things a little bit more complicated, I also want to tell ESL that given a account in Salesforce with its ID stored again in a field called row ID, I can connect that to the contact object, because the contact object has one field which is called account ID, which is here. So basically, I just created the definition of a couple of relationships. In this case, let's say this is contact to account, or vice versa, they are bidirectional. So now if I go back to my definition of customer, what I can do is I can add manually a new field where, instead of choosing a field for customer, so a column of the customer table, I can navigate my relationship, customer contact, and I can decide that I want to include from here something like, I don't know, what is interesting, the department name, right? So now I'm saying fetch the department name starting from a customer, navigating to Salesforce, and getting that data from the contact object in Salesforce. And you know, of course, you can rename your thing here. Maybe, I don't know, call it DEP, just to show you that the logical name that you assign to the field doesn't need to be one-to-one to the physical name. And you could of course, do things a little bit more complicated. So you could define another field where you navigate to relationships now. So from customer, you navigate to contact. From contact, you navigate to account. And then finally, in account, you get the annual revenue information, for example, that is stored in Salesforce. So now I'm starting, as part of the customer object, I'm mixing information which is in part provided by the OpenEdge table and in part provided by Salesforce. And this starts more being more interesting because the only way you can do that today in practice is creating this join manually yourself in your system or in doing joins at the Excel level or other systems or pulling all the data inside your OpenEdge system and then running the query there. But we are doing an actual joining of data here, which is not immediate. So if I decide that I'm happy with this, I could just click the continue button and say, okay, this is SF and OE data. Let's call also the warehouse SF and OE, why not? And now I load it and we end up in the same environment that we saw earlier, which is the area where I have my structure here. You see that in my structure I have the customer object and the invoice object that I just created. And now the loading is going on for fetching the data from both Salesforce and the OpenEdge so that then I can actually use the data in my report. You see that the load has happened. It by default will show you one column in the set of fields that you chose, but of course we can show different things. So for example, if I expand this, you will recognize fields that we had earlier in the template. I may want to have the name here of a customer. You see here at the bottom the two fields that are provided by Salesforce. So I can get the department name. So this department name that now appears there magically has actually been fetched from Salesforce. I can also add the annual revenue, which is obtained navigating from customer to contact to account in Salesforce. And of course, I can also add information about invoice, which is still related to the OpenEdge database, but it's maybe interesting to know here. So now you start having multiple roles, for example, for this particular contact, because he has multiple invoices associated. Yep.
5 minutes?
Yep. We're almost there. So at this point, of course, again, I can save this report. So for example, I can say this is bug 2. I can use the same folder. Let me also store it as a Tableau file so that I can show it in a moment what that means. And you see here, I'm basically asking the system to export that as Excel. That's turned on by default. And then you have other options that are for Tableau integration that I'll touch on in a moment now. I save it, as it happened before, I get the notification here that a new report has been created, and if I open it, there is a TD, which one is the TD? I'm getting blind, this one is the Excel file, there it is, and if you open it, this is all the data that you have in the tables that we fetched from both Salesforce and OpenEdge. This is your Excel report. Now, last thing before I leave control to Gary is we have seen how we can get access to Excel, to this data through Excel files, but what if I have an existing BI tool and I want to get data out of the system from an existing BI tool for ODBC or JDBC connectivity? EASL is accessible also through ODBC or JDBC, and to show you this, let me just create a new ODBC connection. So this is just Windows. Let me just say I want to add a new connection in Windows based on the Progress EASL driver. I will call it bug 87, just to make sure I don't have overlaps. Here I need to reference the name of the data mart that I use, which is in the end this name up here, the SF and OE in this case, if that's the warehouse I want to access. So I will tell EASL that that's the one I want to access. And I can do a test connect just to be sure that I'm not doing anything silly. I'm connecting here to do this test with my EASL credentials. So they are all the same credentials as part of EASL. This is still the EASL system. Everything is okay. So I just click the OK button. And now I can bring up, for example, Tableau, which is, I think, the only BI tool that I have here. And when Tableau comes up, I can then connect to data in Tableau. Come on, come on, come on. Here you go. In Tableau, you have the possibility to connect to generic ODBC data. So you will just choose other databases through ODBC. You can, at this point, choose the connection that we just created, called PUG87. I will connect to this, provide the same credentials that I provide when I log into EASL. And at this point, I'm just accessing this connection as if it was a database from Tableau's point of view. So I can connect to one single table, to multiple ones. For example, you see that if I connect and I ask to select a table, you see your business level object as tables in Tableau. You see the little report that we created as a view. So you can decide to use either the table, the raw tables, the business objects I created, or the reports inside Tableau. So, for example, if you access the view itself, you do a select, you do an OK. At this point, you are inside the Tableau connectivity. You can connect live or fetch data from EASL as you like. And at this point, you can do the typical things you would do in Tableau of doing drag and drop creation of information, and probably a drag and drop something weird, but you're getting basically to EASL as if it was a database. No difference, really. Now, the other thing that we did is that we provided recently, actually this weekend we deployed an updated version of EASL, where we are also able to export what Tableau calls Tableau data extracts, that are basically pre-digested data sources that Tableau allows you to create and to inject into the system. So EASL now, in addition to exporting Excel files, can also export these Tableau data extracts files that can just be readily open inside the Tableau, and you can create reports on them. So that's why I clicked on the little extra icon when I saved my report earlier, so that you see that now I have two PUG2 files. One is a Tableau extract and the other one is an Excel file. And if you double click on the Tableau extract file, you will see that you are trying to open the TDE, which is the extension for the Tableau extracts in Tableau. And you click OK, and at this point you just get to that data into Tableau as you would do with any other standard Tableau system. There are a lot of other things that I could talk about, but I won't, because we don't have time. Like sharing, for example, which is important to mention. It's things like reports or even the warehouses that I created, they can be shared across EASL users. So I can create a report and decide to share it with Gary, or I can create a dataset and decide to share it with Gary. Dataset is a name that we use in EASL for data warehouse in the end. And that means that in the end, other people in your organization or other people you work with, they can get access to the reports or to the underlying data mass without having to do anything, without using Dropbox, without emailing Excel spreadsheet. You can use EASL to control the security of these sharing activities and the ability of everyone to access the kind of information you want them to be able to access.
Can you then share the Tableau reports as well?
You can share a Tableau report, but that's something that we don't get into. In a sense, it's we let Tableau take care of it. Tableau has its own mechanism for sharing. It's they have an online a cloud-based version where you can upload the data. It's one of the options that you saw when we saved the file here. It's if we do that again, I wish in a moment. You see here there is one extra option, which is upload Tableau online. In this case, instead of just creating the TDE file, we are creating the data extract in Tableau and uploading to the Tableau cloud system. And at that point, through the Tableau cloud system, you can share it with other people, or you can decide to share only the report or whatever subset of information you want.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
It reaches. Good.
Worked earlier on. Ah, here we go. Okay, so now we're going to look at taking what Manolo showed you there, which was building a report in Easel, and looking at how we can use that also in our software, BI software, which is DataPA. So what we have here is a data set which has been shared by Manolo with me, and it's the Sports 2001 enriched with data from Salesforce. So we can see in this report, which I've called Pug Sales Data, that we have the department column, which is coming from Salesforce, along with customer order and order line information from Sports 2000. Okay, so if that's ready to go, I'll show you what we have to do in DataPA to access that information. So first of all, I log into DataPA. Now what I need to do is set up a system within DataPA. Now a system really defines a connection to a data source within DataPA, and it's what all our data is accessed through. So if I create a brand new system for this, call it Easily Done. And we have three options for systems here. So we have a Progress App Server based system, which uses the App Server to access your OpenEdge database and OpenEdge business logic. We have an ODBC based system, which allows you to connect to ODBC systems such as Oracle, SQL Server, MySQL. And we have a new type here that we've added just recently, specifically for Progress Easel. So if I select that in this case, the next thing I've got to do is give my Easel credentials. So this will allow me to read any reports or data sets that my user has. So that now requests a list of those from Easel, and we can see that list on the left-hand side there. Now, one option you can get DataPA to do is automatically keep those data sets and reports up to date. So when a new report's added to my Easel user, it will automatically become available to me within DataPA. Now you can choose not to do that and just select certain reports or data sets. It's entirely up to you. And on the right hand side we have our Easel ODBC connection string. So this is the default connection string that Easel will use, but you can choose to amend that if it's appropriate. You can also choose whether the user's prompted for the password when they're running a query in DataPA, and you can also choose whether you want to run the query via a remote ODBC connection, which means the queries run from our enterprise product, which sits in the cloud, rather than being run from the PC on which you are. So if I click next and finish, that's my system generated. So it's very easy to change those options once you've set a system up just by clicking on the Easel tab. And underneath the system we have a list of the subjects. So subjects is a key thing within DataPA for building queries. It provides a nice flat set of fields for an ordinary business user to be able to use. And we can see we have one subject for each of the data sets that make up our Easel configuration, and also the report itself, which is Pug Sales Data. So if we save those changes, what we'll do now is move into creating an actual dashboard. So if I create a new dashboard, the first thing that comes up is our Query Wizard. Now the Query Wizard guides you through the process of creating a query in six simple steps, so whichever system type you're using. So click next, give the query a name, so in this case sales, because it's sales information we're looking to get. Select the system, it's going to be Easily Done. Next we select the subject. So what we're going to pick is the actual report, so that's the Pug Sales Data. Click next. And on this step, we can add any filter conditions that we want. So we may want to filter the data that's provided by that Easel report further for this particular dashboard. So we could choose to do that if we want. We'll just take all the data in this case. The next step is where you select the fields you want to be part of the query. Again, we'll take them all. Go on to the next step, and then we can choose how the data is sorted. But we'll just leave it as the default sort, and then the query executes against the Easel system. So at this point it's using an ODBC connection to fetch that information from Easel in the same way Manolo showed you with it working with Tableau. So once the query is returned, what we get down the bottom left hand side of the application is a data grid which previews the actual data that's been returned, so we can see make sure we're getting what we expected from the query. So if that's all good, we can now start to build the dashboard. So one thing we might want to look at is how our sales break down by country. So we could use a 2D pie chart, so we drag that from our toolkit and drop it onto a dashboard tab. So in here we can tell the pie chart exactly what we want it to show. So we're going to say, on change of country, show me the sum of extended price. And we can set other options, so by giving it a title perhaps, sales by country. We can set numeric formatting, so we make it nice and tidy. So instead of having lots of zeros, if we're having big numbers on our charts, we can choose to use abbreviations. And we can make the chart interactive as well. So we may want to drill down on a country and perhaps see maybe who our top five customers are for that country. So we can add a drill down. In this case, it's going to be on change of name. Show me the sum of extended price. But we'll have a lot of customers for each country, so let's just focus in on the top five and sort that top five by the extended price descending, so we see our best customer first. On the appearance, we can choose the type of chart we want to use for the drill down. So let's use a 2D chart, and the numeric formatting will be inherited from the parent chart. So if we click OK, there's our sales by country. So we can actually drill in, say on USA, and see there's our top five customers from the US. Now we might want to look at that data in a slightly different way. So maybe we use a donut 2D chart, and this time we'll look at how the sales break down by department, which is the field that's coming from Salesforce. Once you're in here, of course, all the fields just look the same. There's no view of where they're coming from. And we'll say on change of department, sum of extended price. Again, we can set a title. And add in our chart as well. So we can see the vast majority of sales have been to finance users. Now, if you want to look at multiple series on a single chart, we can use the 2DY, dual Y combination chart. So what we're going to show on here is maybe our top 10 customers and show their value of sales to them, but also the number of orders that they placed. So we're going to say on change of name, show me the sum of extended price, and also give me a distinct count on the order number. Now we'll have, again, a lot of customers, so let's just focus in on the top 10 and sort that top 10 by the extended price descending. We'll give it a title. Now for each of the series, we can choose how it's displayed on this combination chart. So maybe for the order count, we want to show that as a line and use a secondary y-axis. And for extended price, we want to that shown as a bar. So there's our chart added in. Now we might also want to filter these charts, maybe based on the year and month that the order was made in. So what we can do for that is use our tree view selection panel. So we drag one of those on and drop them onto our tab. We're going to use our order date field here. But we don't want each individual day because there'll be a lot of those, so let's transform that to be by year. And then within the year we want to see the month, so we add order date again, and this time transform it to be month. And give it a title. Years and months would make sense. And then we can select which objects on the dashboard we want this tree view to filter, and we'll just choose them all. Resize those, and then when we pick our years and months, the charts will automatically filter the data based on those selections. Now you can add multiple tabs to the dashboard. So let's name this one Sales, and we can add a second tab. Call this one Pivot. And what we're going to put on this one is a pivot table. Drag that on. And this time, what we might want to see is perhaps the sales rep information. So we'll show that in the row. And across the top in the columns, we might want to see maybe the department. So in the summary columns, we'll select again extended price and maybe a count of orders as well. So that's a pivot table added in. Now you can add drill downs to pivot tables as well, so you can drill into a particular cell, but we shall just get on with publishing this dashboard to the web, so we can consume it with browsers and mobile apps. So let's give it a name, just call it Pug Demo. I'm going to select the public category. Now you can select categories depending on what you want to publish it to. So it may be that you want to restrict certain users to only see certain categories, and you can configure all of that within DataPA. You can also set a refresh schedule for each of the queries. So it may be that you want to maybe refresh it, you know, half an hour after the ESO data set has been refreshed, or you may want to refresh it more often. That's really up to you. And then once we've created that, then we can save it to disk so we can use it locally. Now if I want to use it in the web, then I simply just select publish, and it gets published up to our enterprise product. So this enterprise product is actually running in the cloud, so you can browse to this yourselves. So if we go to, so we just log in and enter as a guest, and I get to see a list of the categories to which I have been given access. So if I select my Pug Demo dashboard, there we can see that's the dashboard we just created, and it's available for us in the web. So the drill downs will work, all the filtering will work in the same way as it did within the client application. And we also have our pivot table available to us there as well. So now we also have mobile apps as well. So if we turn on an iPhone, so what we have is native apps for iOS and Android. And what these allow us to do is access those charts on mobile devices. So we log in as guest again. We get to see a different view. So there's a favorites view where you can keep your favorite charts. There's a search view for searching for particular charts. And a categories view where we can see the categories to which our user has been given access. So we can go into public, and down at the bottom there we can see there's our Pug Demo dashboard. So there's the two tabs we've created, sales and pivot. Now if we go into that, we can see the charts on each. And if I select the sales by country, there's the chart available for us. We can drill into the chart. So there's our top five customers for the US. We also have our by department chart available there, which shows the breakdown by department, and the combination chart is also available too. So you can actually download this this app and actually try out this dashboard if you want right now. You download it from the App Store or from Google Play, and it'll be hooked up to connect to this already. The pivot table is also available there. So the idea really is that you can access charts on a phone or an iPad or a tablet in a way that's where the charts are rendered specifically for that device, so they're sized nicely for it. Okay, so as well as being able to use the dashboards in that way, we can also use them embedded in your OpenEdge application. So if you've got a GUI for .NET or a Progress GUI application, you can use these dashboards that pull together information from Salesforce and OpenEdge through ESO and use them actually in your OpenEdge application. So if we run this example that's using Progress GUI for .NET, so it has a full API, so you can use the API to open up the dashboards, you know, pass parameters to them, call them to refresh and things like that. So there's the dashboard we just created, and there it is rendered for us embedded in an ABL form in GUI for .NET. The same is true for standard Progress GUI, so we can run it from the app builder, And again, using the same API, you can access those dashboards quite easily. Yes, you can embed, if you've published it to DSP Enterprise, then you can use an iframe reference and embed it inside inside a page itself. So if I now go to, not quite ready, okay. Windows not got focus for some reason. But it works the same way as the GUI for .NET, and the API is very similar. The final thing really just to say before we wrap up is because we set this particular example system to automatically update for EASL, if we actually go and create a new EASL report now, the next time I start up DSP, it will automatically download that, the definitions of that report, and I'll be able to create a query based on it. So you don't need to do anything once you've initially set up that system in DSP. Any new reports that are shared with you by other users or that you create yourself within EASL will automatically be available within DataPA for you to start creating dashboards with. Okay, so I think that brings us to the end of the demo. Is there anybody with any questions for either myself or Mano or Adam?
Were you showing the logging into the web app or logging into the phone app? If we had a sales app, one set of reports, I guess you call it dashboards. Mm-hmm. He has 200 sales reps only want to see their data.
Uh-huh.
Would you have to wrap it in a progress or your own application to pass parameters, or is there some way that when they log in they can see just their own?
You would, if you were using our app server based system, then there would be a way of doing that with context. I'm not sure there'd be a way of doing it with these, but you could certainly set up different categories and assign those sales reps to different categories and then publish particular content to each category within DataPA.
Yeah. In EASL, you would have to, when you create a report, before sharing that, you make sure that the filters are applied so that only specific information is available to the recipients of the sharing activity. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.